Good evening, and welcome to Financial Time Machine. I'm Megan Thomas. Tonight, we're stepping back into another chapter of everyday American life, exploring the money, culture, habits, and quiet routines that shaped previous generations, from grocery stores and family dinners to old advertisements, retirement dreams, and the way people once thought about debt, security, and success. This podcast is a journey through the forgotten rhythms of American life. Somewhere between nostalgia and history, there's usually a lesson. So settle in, slow down for a little while, and let's take a trip back in time. This is Financial Time Machine.
Imagine a rain-soaked Saturday in February. The gutters are singing, a pot of coffee breathes steam on the kitchen stove, and in the entryway, there's a wooden sled with a cracked runner. A child's cheeks are still pink from the cold, laughter trapped in their ribs. A parent sets down a screwdriver, rubs their hands, and says, "We'll fix it up, good as new." In the living room, a comic book is passed around for the afternoon, each page a small shared treasure. That afternoon costs almost nothing on paper, and yet it's full of work, care, and ritual. Sanding a runner, stitching a doll seam, swapping a marble set on the front porch. Those small economies of play shaped how families spent and saved. They taught thrift, made resourcefulness a daily habit, and turned community into currency.
Across the middle of the 20th century, childhood play often arrived in modest batches. A Sears catalog could spark an entire season of imagining. A Lionel train or an Erector set was a prized purchase and usually lasted a generation. Hula hoops, paper dolls, comic books, a simple ball. These things were affordable or shared, and they carried enormous social value. Hand-me-downs traveled from cousins to neighbors to siblings. A patched coat or an older sibling's bike taught kids that things weren't disposable. Neighborhood games, stickball in the street, backyard forts, impromptu baseball with makeshift bases required little more than time and space. Churches, schools, and local community centers organized leagues and events that kept costs low and participation high. Parents learned to prioritize a careful investment in one durable toy or the quiet economy of play through everyday objects and imagination.
Those modest habits produced more than thrift. They shaped character and social life. I'll never forget a story I heard from a listener, a woman who kept a box of cloth scraps her mother used to stitch dolls. When money was tight, those dolls became the centerpiece of whole afternoons. School for the dolls, tea parties, dramatic cliffhangers acted out on the kitchen table. Homemade toys demanded imagination and handiwork. They turned recycling into play. On Saturday mornings, you might see a front porch trade. Marbles for a yo-yo, a comic book for a tin soldier. Those trades were not just about toys. They were practice in negotiation, prioritizing, and valuing possessions properly. Small repairs, a sled runner renailed, a loose seam restitched, taught kids that care extended the life of things and that attention was often worth more than money. Community swap meets, church rummage sales, and school bake sale fundraisers were both social rituals and budgetary strategies. They let families stretch dollars, yes, but they also kept play local, shared, and creative.
It's important to note the variations. Not every family had the same access to parks, catalogs, or free time. Regional economies and income levels mattered. Yet across many communities, there was a through line. Less emphasis on the newest model and more on participation and repair. Over time, that culture shifted. Mass marketing and television brought new toys into view and created faster cycles of desire. By the late 1970s and 1980s, colorful packaged playthings and brand tie-ins began to reshape expectations. Suddenly, play carried a retail rhythm, seasons for new toys, more pressure to buy, and a stronger sense that childhood required consumption. The skill of making do, of turning an ordinary cardboard box into a spaceship,
slowly ceded ground to the lure of convenience and the promise of the latest fad.
When I think about what previous generations understood well, a few lessons stand out. First, scarcity breeds creativity. When budgets were tight, imagination did heavy lifting. Second, community lowers costs and raises joy. Sharing, swapping, and neighborhood leagues turned collective time into play capital. Third, care matters. Keeping, repairing, and handing down built respect for objects and patience for use. Those practices didn't make life perfect, but they produced everyday resilience. Today, we've gained incredible variety, safety standards, and entertainment options. We've also adopted faster consumption and a louder sense of urgency around acquiring the newest things. If there's a gentle takeaway for modern listeners, it's this. You don't need to recreate the past to borrow from it. Choose one ritual, a monthly swap, a repair night, an afternoon of screen-free neighborhood play, and let that small habit reorient your family's relationship to stuff. Small acts can calm spending and deepen connection.
Maybe people weren't happier because toys cost less. Maybe life simply moved slower, and that slowness allowed small things to matter in bigger ways. If tonight's rainy Saturday image lingers with you, consider one practical experiment. Next weekend, turn an hour into a repair and play hour. Invite a neighbor. Trade a comic book, stitch a doll. You might be surprised at how much richness arrives for very little money. Dadgum, there's a kind of magic in that, isn't there? If you enjoyed this trip through the thrift and imagination of old childhoods, please subscribe to Financial Time Machine and share a memory with us. Tell us about a toy you loved or a ritual your family kept. We love hearing your stories.
And that's where we'll leave our journey tonight. The past may look different through modern eyes, but sometimes, hidden inside old routines and forgotten traditions, we find pieces of ourselves we've been missing. Thank you for spending a little time traveling through history with me. Until next time, keep one foot in the past. Good night, and thanks for listening to Financial Time Machine.